Iom ad portas nebria.
Anapeksha sucirdaksha. Udasino gatavyata. Sabharamba parityagi. Yomad bhakta samipriya. Anapeksha sucirdaksha. Udasino gatavyata. Savarambha parityagi yoma bhakta samepriya anapeksha shuchir daksha udasino gatavyataha Savarambha parityagi Yoma Bhakta Sanepriyaha Anapekshaha
Anapekshaha
Neutral Shuchihi
Shuchihi
Pure
Pure
Dakshaha
Dakshaha
Expert
Expert
Udasinaha
Udasinaha
Free from care
Free from care
Katavyataha
Katavyataha
Freed from all distress
Freed from all distress
Sarva Arambha
Sarva Arambha
Of all endeavors
Of all endeavors
Parityagi
Parityagi
Renouncer
Renouncer.
Yaha.
Yaha.
Anyone who.
Anyone who.
Mat bhaktaha.
Mat bhaktaha.
My devotee.
My devotee.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
May.
May.
To me.
To me.
Priyaha.
Priyaha.
Very dear.
Very dear.
My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Purport. Money may be offered to a devotee, but he should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically, by the grace of the Supreme, money comes to him, he's not agitated. Naturally, a devotee takes a bath at least twice a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service. Thus, he is naturally clean, both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. A devotee never takes the part of a particular party. Therefore, he is carefree. He is never pained because he is freed from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation, so if there are some bodily pains, he is free. The pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For example, constructing a big building requires great energy, and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord, and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadhamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vash Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anapeksha Shuchir Daksha, Udasino Gatavyataha, Sarva Rambha Parityagi, Yo Mad Bhakta Sanegu. Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that the characteristic of a pure devotee is that he's a perfect gentleman. He said a devotee, a perfect gentleman. He has all the good qualities, saintly qualities, the qualities that you'd want to see in a human being and which are so often not seen, are natural characteristics of a Krishna conscious person. Anapeksha, Srila Prabhupada gives it as not dependent on the ordinary course of affairs. He's dependent on Krishna and not on the circumstances of the material energy. Material energy may go this way or that way, but he knows that, well, whatever way it goes, Krishna is there, and my real dependence is on Krishna. He keeps his life simple as far as possible, so as not to complicate his life by being everything, having everything contingent on material circumstances. Simplicity helps us that way. The materialistic civilization does everything big, grand, artificial way. And if a simple thing, if the electricity goes off in a place like New York City, then all hell breaks loose. Everything is dependent on artificial arrangements. A devotee depends on Krishna. Shuchi, bhaya abhyantara shuchi, he's pure outwardly, and by chanting Hare Krishna is pure inwardly. Daksha, expert. Sometimes it's taken, devotee's expert in so many things, in kirtan and deity worship and preaching. Although here Prabhupada says he's expert because he knows the essence of the activities of life. That's real expertise. And he's convinced of the authoritative scriptures. The world is full of experts, but they're all fools because they don't know Krishna. And a devotee is expert, while all the so-called experts are spoiling their lives. The Krishna conscious person, the actual expert, is chanting Hare Krishna and planning his journey out of the material world. Udasina. Udasina, neutral. Here Prabhupada gives this interesting translation, free from care. Usually it's taken as neutral. And Prabhupada connects the two meanings. If a person is neutral, he'll be carefree. If we take to party politics, this side against that side, well, I belong to this party. Well, okay, I belong to that party. And then everything is according to the party and according to the politics and according to, are you friends with that person? Oh, okay. Just wanted to know where you stand, and everything's in terms of where my allegiances are, and my allies, and my who's my friends and who are my enemies. A Krishna conscious person has no friends or enemies. He's friendly toward everyone. He's sees that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, especially the devotees. They're all serving Krishna. If a devotee belongs to any party, it's the party of devotional service, in which everyone actually it belongs. Everyone's already there. Someone's serving Krishna directly through serving devotional service. Someone's serving indirectly through the material energy. If I'm serving the material energy, I'm serving Krishna indirectly. Otherwise, direct service is there. So the devotee stays away from political life as far as possible. And he remains in Krishna's party. He remains in Krishna's party. And therefore he has no anxieties, he's carefree. His party's always going to win. Achyuta. There are different gotras, family lines, and the devotees are said to belong to Achyuta Gotra, the family line of Krishna, the infallible personality of Godhead. So when you belong to the Achyuta Gotra, you have no anxieties, because Krishna is always infallible in taking care of his devotees. Gatavyataha, he's freed from pains because he knows that he's not this body. The pain belongs to this body, but the body doesn't belong to me. Whatever distress is coming in terms of this body, we tolerate, understanding that this is external to my actual self. So the Krishna conscious person, we saw that in the most exalted extent in Srila Prabhupada in his last days. Usually in someone's last days they're in tremendous pain and they're heavily sedated and taking whatever's the strongest stuff that can be prescribed for him, and still suffering. And Srila Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna, taking part in kirtan. His body was, well, wasted really. There was practically nothing left. And the Kaviraj said, the doctor said, he said, any ordinary person would be screaming. Would be screaming. And Prabhupada was, what word would you use? Calm. Peaceful. He's managing. It was like inconvenience. Like managing inconvenience. But going on with his work of Krishna consciousness, instructing and just dealing with, all right, we have to deal with this body. So now we have to take this, and now we have to try to eat something, and now we have to do this, and now we have to do this. It's botheration, but we have to do these things. And at the same time, seeing to all the so many things concerning ISKCON, concerning the devotees. Practically in defiance of the body. Gatavyata, free from pain. Pain may be there, but what does that have to do with me? So where we have that theoretical understanding, Srila Prabhupada showed to such an extent. Gatavyataha. And Sarvarampa Parityagi. He endeavors, but he's renounced. He's renounced. He doesn't endeavor for his own sense gratification. He endeavors for Krishna. And the outcome is not his. It's not something that he'll be attached to. Krishna, he'll undertake, Prabhupada said, all troubles. But for himself, why bother? And detached. Here we saw that, in Prabhupada's, not last days, but little before that, he was in Bombay. Were you there in 1977, Prabhupada? And that those rooms where Prabhupada's quarters were meant to be were just finished. The towers were still under construction. But Prabhupada's way of getting construction completed was to move in so that you know everybody would have to work, and well, I'm here and I'm watching, so you better do all the work in my presence. So he moved into that tower amidst all the construction, but his quarters were finished. Very extraordinary quarters, really, especially at those times. Beautiful marble floors and teakwood furnishings and everything really quite nice. And Prabhupada was very humble. He thanked the devotees for putting together such a thing. But he said, you know, that we'll see if I get to live in these quarters, or practically, I probably won't. And the same thing, the devotees came from New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, your palace is ready for you. And Prabhupada said, we'll see which palace I live in. Maybe that palace, maybe some other palace. Krishna has some, his lodgings. So he was detached. Even that same tower where Prabhupada was staying and his rooms had just been finished. But Srupa Dhammanar Maharaj was there, and Prabhupada was very keen to push forward the work of Bhaktivedanta Institute. So he said to Srupa Dhammanar Maharaj, he said, what do you need? He said, you want this building? He said, take it, we'll build another one. Not even finished. And they just, Prabhupada's just moved into his quarters there. You want the building, we'll take it, we'll build another one. It's all for Krishna's service, not for him, not for sense enjoyment. Yomad bhakta same priya. Anyone else want to comment on anything here? Otherwise, we'll move to the next one. Yo na rishyati na dveshti na shochati na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi bhakti man yasame priyaha. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. Purport. A pure devotee is neither happy nor distressed over material gain and loss, nor very much anxious to get a son or disciple, nor is he distressed by not getting them. Rupa Goswami mentions that one of the principles of devotional service is not to be keen to get disciples. It's not like notches on your gun, I got another disciple, I'm up to 7,425 and working on it. The Krishna conscious person he's concerned for the welfare of others. It's not accumulating disciples. If he takes a disciple, it's for the benefit of the disciple, not for his own benefit or glorification. So he's not keen to get a disciple, and if he doesn't get a disciple, that's all right. But if he's, but his preaching, we say making disciples, is for their benefit, not for his benefit. That's the point. If he loses anything which is very dear to him, he does not lament. Similarly, if he does not get what he desires, he's not distressed. He's transcendental in the face of all kinds of auspicious and inauspicious sinful activities. He's prepared to accept all kinds of risks for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is an impediment in the discharge of his devotional service. Such a devotee is very dear to Krishna. Shubha, shubha, shubha means auspicious. It's kind of a little hard to translate, but it probably usually gives auspicious. Shubha, fortunate. So he doesn't, just like this calendar is there, the Panjika, in which it's calculated according to astrology, what's auspicious and what's inauspicious. If you leave on a Thursday afternoon, that's very inauspicious. If you travel at some other time, that's very auspicious. And Prabhupada just didn't give much attention to those things. If Pradyumna Prabhu was very, at one point, very attentive to that. Prabhupada said, if you go by that, you can't do anything. So he was auspicious, inauspicious, or some work may appear auspicious, inauspicious. But for the Krishna conscious person, if it's Krishna's business, it's auspicious. It may appear inauspicious or whatever, but if it's Krishna's business, it's always auspicious. Fortunate. Any other comments about that here?
Mm-hmm. A question. What if there is an institution and for a evaluation of a spiritual position, the first criteria is looking at the auspiciousness or inauspiciousness of the stars in that individual's life. Is that a valid consideration in Vaishnav calculations?
It is done in some traditional Vaishnav lines, Madhvacharya Sampradaya, especially Ramanuja Sampradaya. They look to see, kind of the way astrology is used in marriage, you know, is this going to work out? So they look to see the characteristics of a person.
They don't give so much sannyas in this.
Particularly, yes.
Yeah.
It's not so much a question of auspicious. It's a question of suitability. Like in matching husbands and wives, it's not a question of whether she's a good girl or a bad girl, or he's a good guy or a bad guy. Well, that is certainly taken into account. But are they suitable for one another? Are they a good match? So it's also considered, is this person suited for this kind of career? They do take that into account. And it's, you can say it's bona fide, it's practiced in such an illustrious line, observed for such a long time by great authorities. But it can also be set aside that there are material considerations. Even Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami? Rupa Goswami? No? Sanatana Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are considerations about the qualifications of a disciple, and they basically shouldn't be a sinful person, and there are like certain signs of a sinful person. But all those things can be set aside. Just like Haridas Thakur, he's coming from a Mlecha background. He's a very inauspicious background. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes him Namacharya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disregards all of these things. He may sometimes give some, all right, this person's a high class Brahmin, okay, this person's a this. But he's ready to put it all aside on the basis of attachment to the holy name. Attachment to the holy name transcends other considerations.
So can you explain that in relationship to the understanding that as one advances in spiritual life, if they truly follow the process of Krishna consciousness, the subtle body is actually dissipated.
Mm-hmm.
So if the subtle body is dissipated, then the influence of the modes of material nature, and consequently any place the stars may have been, is truly inconsequential.
Mm-hmm. The subtle body is not dissipated, it's just purified by being connected with Krishna. So
dissolved, does it not say?
It's not dissolved till we go back to Godhead. The subtle body means mind and intelligence. We still have intelligence, but it's purified. Ultimately, a perfectly Krishna conscious person, we don't care what his gross body is like, what his subtle body is like. What is that in Nectar of Instruction? It said you can't consider a devotee in terms of these things. But then sometimes Srila Prabhupada, for example, said we have to institute Varnashram Dharma. The devotee said, why do we have to institute Varnashram Dharma? Isn't that mundane? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects Ehopaya, that's external. Why do we want to have anything to do with that if we're devotees? And Prabhupada said, if they're devotees, why are they falling down? So there may be a consideration that, yes, for a person who's actually on the transcendental platform, forget it all, none of these bodily considerations. But for those of us who are not yet fully situated on that platform, we may take into consideration the nature of the body, the nature of the mind. Even in ordinary affairs, we say, well, this person is fit for management, and that person is an artist, and you don't put the artist in charge of management.
Sometimes you do.
Excuse me?
Forget that. Just scratch that.
You didn't say it. Okay. So the subtle body is not quite dissolved. It's there. It's just purified. The artist is, instead of painting, splattering paint and saying, this shows something. Krishna is something to remind us of Krishna. The artist, the musician, or the person who's an architect is building something for Krishna. The person who's managing the Sankirtan party. So all of the same things are there. But it's purified because it's engaged in Krishna's service. Like Prabhupada, as a bodyguard, he didn't have like me as his bodyguard. someone like Rakshana will be the bodyguard. So, because the embodiment is different, the gross body, the subtle body will be suitable for different things. So we don't necessarily just toss all that out and everything's just on the spiritual platform, but we try to connect it all with Krishna's service. So that's a department expertise, of sober consideration. But on the transcendental platform also, the expert devotee may ignore on other considerations. You may ignore the material considerations for Krishna's service. For Krishna's service, we need to get this done, and you are going to do it. Like, even Prabhupada, he's taking all basic kids and starting a movement out of it, because that's what Krishna sent him. That's not maybe how you'd plan it, but Prabhupada just saw, all right, this person. And he told me, he said, you've probably heard the example about the gourd and the wire and the stick. Prabhupada said someone is walking down the road and he sees a gourd. He says, is it worth anything? Is it very valuable? No, Prabhupada. And he sees a stick. Is it very valuable? No, Prabhupada. And he's walking, he sees one wire. Is that wire of any great value? No. Prabhupada said no. He said, but the intelligent person He'll put the stick on the gourd and he'll string the wire and he'll make a nice musical instrument. Prabhupada says, similarly, I picked up you American and European boys and girls. You're all useless, in other words. But a person with intelligence will make something out of it. Is that okay? Does that cover your...
Mm-hmm. I'm just taking on another same verse with the point about the body doesn't lament. When our spirit and Prabhupada love, there's certainly lamentation. There's certainly lamentation in Srila Prabhupada love. We see when Narottam is lamenting.
Yeah, we lament the loss of a devotee's association. There's feeling in Krishna. Everything is there in Krishna consciousness. There's desire, there's lamentation, there's rejoicing. With Krishna in the center, there's Rupa Goswami mentions, Prabhupada mentions in a, citing Rupa Goswami in a purport, mentioned this the other day. It's either in Prayers of King Kulashekar or it's in Narada Bhakti Sutra, that a Krishna conscious person doesn't become overindulgent. Like, he's humble, but he doesn't overindulge in the feeling of humility. He laments, but he doesn't overindulge. What's overindulgent? When it interrupts your devotional service. Like some person says, I'm so fallen, I can't chant. That's over, you've gone too far. To be humble is even, feeling very unworthy is appreciated. But when I'm so unworthy, I can't serve Krishna, so I might as well forget it. That's now against the interests of Krishna's service. Prabhupada gave the example of he remarked, there was some godbrother who wrote a book and I guess sent a copy to Srila Prabhupada, and in the front matter, in the introduction, he said that, when my Guru Maharaj left, I lost the light of my life. And he tells the story basically how he left the mission and took up law or something and became involved in all of this. And now after, 40 years, I am writing this book. And Prabhupada commented that after the disappearance of his Guru Maharaj, he should have served the orders of his Guru Maharaj, should have served the instructions of his Guru Maharaj. Not that, I lost the light of my life, so let me just merge into material life. So that becomes overindulgence. But otherwise, yes, these feelings are not precluded, that the devotee is a stone. He feels all of these things, but in relation to Krishna. Something else?
Could you explain that in relationship with the example of that Lord Chaitanya gave when Haridas Thakur left, which seemed to be entirely juxtaposed to that.
Why?
He was like in jubilation, was he not?
Dancing
around with the body.
Well, it's described that it was a mixture of lamentation and jubilation. They felt that at the passing of Bhishma Dev also. There was happiness that he'd been lying on this bed of arrows for I don't know how long. And in this most difficult situation. So there was some happiness that he'd now been freed from that and he'd attained perfection. And at the same time, there was great sadness because such a great person, the grandfather of all the Pandavas and the Kauravas, was now gone. So they felt this mixture. So with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he said that Kaviraj Goswami says that there was this jubilation expressed, and at the same time there was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Haridas Thakur was the jewel of this world, and now he's gone. The world has lost that jewel. Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakur. Now Krishna has taken that association away. So it was a mixture, mixed feelings. Anything else? Yeah.
Arjuna mentioning how Prabhupada told to do miracle regarding the Panjika. We can't.
He can't do anything. Yeah.
But I was thinking Prabhupada can do that because he had so much, Brahmanishta. She was so fixed and strong.
Yeah, partly because Prabhupada had so much Brahmanishta, therefore he could say, forget it, and also because Prabhupada looked at it and said, you can't do anything. Between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, you can't go east. Between 3 and 3:30, you can't go west. Between 3:45, if you go by that, you become such a smarta Brahman that you're busy, so busy following all these rules and regulations, you'll never get anything done. Oh, this is inauspicious. This is auspicious. The hell with it. Just serve. We do and we don't. We do and we don't. Muhurta and Vastu and all of that, we take into consideration. Prabhupada hardly took it into consideration. Vrindavan Temple, no Vastu. Mayapur, no Vastu. Detroit Temple, no Vastu. I think all the temples, no Vastu. The most famous temple for which Vastu is taken into account is ISKCON Bangalore. And Hare Krishna. Mayapur project. So anyway, Vastu may be there, but or Muhurtam may be there. And Prabhupada gave a little attention, what's an auspicious day for this function. But his real attention was on Harinam. And that example is there, about the Vrindavan deity installation, where he got all the auspicious people doing all the auspicious things and didn't really give a damn about it. The main thing for him was kirtan. And the kirtan made everything auspicious. That's, in one sense, the radical nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. While everybody else is deeply considering the auspiciousness of the moment and this and that and the other thing and so many material considerations, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if Harinam is there, everything's auspicious. Harinam is everything, makes everything auspicious. And there's a certain freedom and a certain power that comes from that. And everything gets so stuck up in you got to throw three drops of water over your left shoulder, and then you've got to throw the three drops of water over your right shoulder, and then you've got to chant da, 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 in the right accent, and by a Brahmin who's spent at least 14 years studying these things, and this and that and the other thing. And you can't go anywhere. You're so busy in all the details, you lose sight of the point. So Prabhupada was focused on the point. The point is to please Krishna. And if you don't please Krishna, you wasted, your whole thing is a failure. And if you please Krishna, then it's a success. So Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are revitalizing the Vedic culture, revitalizing the world by giving that focus. And it doesn't matter, this. We'll take it into account to some extent. But finally, we'll chant Hare Krishna, depend on Krishna, and go. And sometimes it may work wonderfully, sometimes it may not work, but that's our principle, that we'll depend on Krishna more. And the ceremonies and the moments and the vastu and all of that, we may not, but if Harinam is there, that makes everything successful.
So where do we I mean, personally, I could be wrong on this, but I've seen, my personal observation is over the last few decades, we've gone into a more, what I would call, smart and bold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I hear things now that just like, what? I don't, what, you can't do that, you know, or, oh my gosh, I didn't break fast, you know, on Dwadasi at the right time, and
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, this is, you know, people mm-hmm. worried about that stuff.
Or, mm-hmm.
what day's Ekadasi? What time is it in Mayapur? Oh no, it has to be calculated for your time. And mm-hmm. we're like, so it seems to me institutionally that we're not in Prabhupada's mode in some of this.
I wouldn't argue with you.
Okay. Well, I'm not here to argue. I'm just.
I was just.
Well, I can.
I was just reading. I'm not supposed to take sides and be.
Yeah. Okay. We won't argue.
The Krishna conscious person has great faith in the holy name. That's where the real power is, and from one side you can argue that, or you could say that the ordinary person sort of needs these things. He needs to be told, you know, three drops of water, not four, and at this time and at this place. But the real essence of the thing is Harinam. And that's the power of our movement. That's the power of our process. That's where the real thing lies. We did a deity installation one time. Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu, who's an artist in Vrindavan, made a murti of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And to present to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother. And I went with him. Babaji Maharaj was staying in one of the Gaudiya Mathas, in room upstairs somewhere. And we came in, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu presented this murti. Babaji Maharaj was sitting there, and he looked, oh, that. And then he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. We spent the next half hour chanting Hare Krishna like that. Deity installation finished. And that was everything. Just Harinam. Harinam does everything. Even, you know, we put on Tilak. Keshavaya Nama, Narayana Nama, Om, Om, Om. Prabhupada said, or if you don't remember the names, you can just chant Hare Krishna. So, yeah, sometimes we may lose sight of that. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Just, and that's probably, I mean, what movement is the Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna does everything. Krishna is everything, and the holy name of Krishna is everything. While devotees are trying to figure out what might possibly spread Krishna consciousness, there's a whole batch of people out there who are chanting Hare Krishna and getting, you know, big halls full of people who are paying serious money to chant Hare Krishna, while the Hare Krishna movement is trying to figure out what we might do to spread Krishna consciousness. So there's a lot to be said for the chanting of the holy name. There's unlimited. The glories of the holy name are unlimited. There's nothing that he can't do. There's no condition that he can't transcend.
Mm-hmm. Could it be that because our literature's scriptures are so old, it's almost like these smarta Brahman tendencies or instructions are like residual from other yugas, whereas the chanting of the holy name is the yuga dharma for now, so it functions really, really well. Where the others, they're difficult to make work, following the vastu and the drops of water and everything work. We know the Maha Mantra, the chanting, works really good in this time because it's so polluted, the atmosphere. The gunas are so thick. Remember that instance when Prabhupada went in Laguna Beach, devotees are trying to say, you know, we can't have white sugar because of X, Y, Z, and so many things, it's impure, because of, it's, everything's impure in the Kali Yuga. Just use the white sugar.
Yeah. Even there was some, so many examples of Prabhupada adjusting things. For, I think when he was in Moscow, when things were really difficult, and you had to search all over the city to find a...
A carrot.
A carrot, yeah. Somehow they were able to get some milk. And as I recall the story, he was having Shamsundar fill up every vessel available. You know, it could be a flower vase, or I think even lotas, you know, it's just filling them up with milk. It didn't matter what was, you know, an appropriate thing. It was just practical. That's one of the attractive things about Srila Prabhupada. It's just supremely practical, cut through all the stuff, all the rules and the regulations and everything to get to the essence of the thing. That's what Prabhupada's definition of expert. He's expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and is convinced of the authoritative scriptures. You know, consider that in relation to Prabhupada's life. It's not that he's just doesn't know, or he's so expert that he knows what the essence is. He knows what the scripture says. He knows what the point of it is. He knows what the essence is. And he's so expert that he's just applying that. Going for the essential things and the something that's not essential. And then Prabhupada would sometimes introduce the more complicated things, the more traditional things. He would like it, but he never got off the point of chanting of the holy name. And even Brahmanandis, you know, they were going out for kirtan in the beginning and they didn't really have any mridanga players. Prabhupada said, you can play. He said, just bang it. Just bang it. Excuse me? Yeah, big bass drum also.
That open piano
guts, yeah. Should we read a little more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shama shatro chamitre cha tata mana pamanayo shitoshna sukadukeshu samasanga vivarjata tulyaninda stutirmoni santushto yena kenache aniketas tiramatir bhaktiman me priyonana. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service. Such a person is very dear to me. Purport. A devotee is always free from all bad association. Sometimes one is praised and sometimes one is defamed. That is the nature of human society. But a devotee is always transcendental to artificial fame and infamy, distress or happiness. He's very patient. He does not speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore, he's called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only of essentials, and the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is happy in all conditions. Sometimes he may get very palatable foodstuffs, sometimes not, but he's satisfied. Nor does he care for any residential facility. He may sometimes live underneath a tree, and he may sometimes live in a very palatial building, he is attracted to neither. When Prabhupada was in
Bhubaneswar,
maybe 1976 or maybe 77, he'd sent one disciple there, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who was from Orissa, to start a temple in Bhubaneswar, the capital. And they had a land that was way out at the time. Now it's right in the middle of everything, but it was way out. And it was like the rickshaw wallahs wouldn't want to go there. It was dangerous. There were thieves. There were snakes. Anyway, he started something. And first thing he did was build a little hut to, you know, the headquarters, so you could sit down and do whatever you had to do. And Prabhupada came, and they had arranged some nice place for him, I think a hotel or something like that. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, I will stay with my disciple, Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And he was very happily living in that, you know, just a little hut, a little grass thing with no, I'm sure there wasn't adequate plumbing or anything. I think they rigged up a little something. But it was, you know, no place for sophisticated, elderly gentlemen. And Prabhupada was very happily living there. He was similar hut in Mayapur, probably a little more together. And Prabhupada liked it. He could sometimes stay in very opulent quarters and then move the next day to a very simple sort of place. So that's the qualification of a devotee. He even Prabhupada said that I have so many residences, that so many places, rooms for me all over the world. He said, I can't stay in any of them because I'm always moving. So that's the Krishna conscious person. He's not attracted, not attached. Well, here they built a big place for me so I can get comfy and settle down. He's called fixed because he's fixed in his determination and knowledge. We may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. It's interesting that on one side, Prabhupada says that one should develop these qualities, and on the other side, he says, of course, they'll just come. But one has to be seriously engaged in devotional service. And Prabhupada was teaching us the good qualities, how to be clean, how to be, that's a whole story in itself, how to be clean, how to be pure in outwardly, how to live, how to act, what to do at what time, how to live in the mode of goodness, really. And how to be engaged in Krishna's service. Above all, how to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prabhupada would put that above everything. The spreading of Krishna consciousness. Above all, just like one of our ladies asked that Srila Prabhupada, we're supposed to be, according to Vedic culture, the ladies should be shy and reserved, but you're sending us out and to distribute these books, so we have to approach people and be a little forward. And Prabhupada just was—he didn't say, "Oh well, then hang back." Prabhupada said, "A lamb at home and a lion in the chase." Lamb at home and a lion in the chase. He was completely. Other things can be set aside. Distribute the message of Krishna. That was his his emphasis. Of course, not recklessly, not madly, but that this is what we're trying to do, to serve Krishna, to spread Krishna's message, and other considerations can be put to the side, given less importance. And by Krishna consciousness, everything will develop. And without Krishna consciousness, even if something good develops, it's really no good anyway. If you lose Krishna consciousness, you lost everything. And if you got Krishna consciousness, you'll get everything. And chanting Hare Krishna, engaging Krishna's service, spreading Krishna's message, that will do the job. Some other points.
Oh, you want something else? Okay. all right, so you've just given a very, before we read on, you made a very strong point for the fact that, our main focus is chanting Hare Krishna. Mm. So then there will be a class of devotees that will come up and say, well, Prabhupada could do anything. I mean, they arrived, it was late at night, they were following a codicil, but the preparations were not a codicil. He said, eat. Mm. But you're not Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. So you can't just rely on the force of the holy name to put aside all these important regulations that must be followed for natural progress according to the Vedic system. Mm-hmm.
It's a fair argument. If we say, well, we'll just chant Hare Krishna, and we don't have to get up in the morning, we don't have to go to the Bhagavatam class, we don't have to chant those 16 whatevers, we don't have to do this and that, we just have to preach, or we just have to do Sankirtan or distribute books or whatever, and everything else can just go. Prabhupada was careful that there are two things. There's Bhagavad Vidhi and there's the Pancharatriki Vidhi. There's the chanting of the holy name and the mridangas and the kartals and Sankirtan. And the other side, there's the bell, there's the Shastra. So there's the rules and regulations. Sruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatri Vidindana Vaikantiki Hari Bhakti Pantaya Vakapata. So Prabhupada was careful to drill into us, really, that on the one side, preaching and Sankirtan, and on the other side, deity worship, which is really where most of the rules and regulations come in. You have to worship the deity, then this big list comes, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you have to do this. Because it purifies us and helps us chant the holy name. It supports our purpose. So Prabhupada had these are like train tracks. When they're parallel, then the train goes. So he was concerned if the devotees would. Even there's one incident in New York. The devotees had established ISKCON Press. They'd purchased a press and were printing Prabhupada's books before we started, printing huge numbers and going to outside printers. And it was a very particular thing for Prabhupada. Prabhupada very much wanted that. But at a certain point, anyway, Prabhupada came to New York and he called me into his quarters. And he said, I have heard that the press leaders, the people who were involved with the printing, are not coming to the morning program. Is that true? And I didn't exactly want to be a rat, so well, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, go there and tell them to close the press. He said, we do not need this press. If they cannot come to the programs, better to close the press. That's the big mridanga. That's the mridanga that you hear all over the world. And Prabhupada's sending me over to tell them to close it down. If you can't come to the morning program, better to close this press. We don't want the press. So he was balanced. We want now, you know, it comes down to a question of detail. Yeah, we should get up and Mangalarti. Now, does it have to Mangalarti have to start at 5:30 or well, the sun's coming up, so tomorrow it has to be 5:31 or 4:38, and you know, you can start trotting out the. But then that becomes there are two things: niyamagraha, neglecting the rules and regulations, and becoming a madman for the rules and regulations. So one has to see. And of course, the spiritual master trains us what's too much, what's not enough. And we, as the disciples, we have to assimilate that. What is the spiritual master telling us to do? Where is his emphasis? What is his, what training is he giving us? And we may, some of us may fail to get it. You know, we're just on another planet someplace. We don't get what he's saying. And some of us may perceive it differently. Some of us may think, well, it was more like this. And some say, well, no, it was more like that. And some received one instruction. Some received another instruction. Some had one experience. Some had another experience. Some of us have one nature, and some of us have another nature. And so we may have differences of opinion about that. We hope that we can accommodate a certain amount of
latitude.
Yes. Prabhupada, we were talking about this morning, last night, that our business, Prabhupada said, is to create unity and diversity. So to do that, you have to have a certain amount. First of all, you have to have unity. It's not anything goes. On the other side, you have to be able to accommodate a certain amount of diversity and not just be Procrustean. You know the story of Procrustes? You don't mind a Greek example, right? Greek mythology. Procrustes was a demon, basically, in our terminology, who would waylay travelers. I forget along which route, but he would waylay travelers. And he had an iron bed in which he would take rest, and which was exactly his size. So he would bring the traveler to that bed, and if you were too short, he would stretch you. And if you were too long, he would cut you down to size. So, till somebody finally did him in, I forget which one it was, which hero finally did in Procrustes. But from that myth, we get Procrustean bed. Krishna consciousness movement is not meant for creating a Procrustean bed where everyone has to fit my size. That's not the idea. So, as you say, we want to accommodate some latitude at the same time that we're clear on what our principles are, what matters, and what matters. Okay? Procrustes. Yes, we're at 8:30, so want to contribute something else? Some thoughts?
Gary Rajana, we're constantly told a joke about a fanatic is anyone who does more practice than me. Well, has a higher standard than me.
Mm-hmm.
A good devotee is one who has my level, and a fringe is one who does anything less than me. It's a joke.
It was Prabhupada's genius that he knew what was essential. He talks about that in fourth canto. You know, there were no tulsi beads. You're supposed to chant on tulsi beads, and there was no Ganga Jal, Ganges water that you're supposed to use for this ritual and that. And Prabhupada sent the devotees to the hardware store to buy beads, you know, whatever kind of wood it was, and so many things were probably just adjusted. The tilak was made out of fuller's earth, which is a with a little bit of gum Arabic, which
stayed on.
Yeah, stayed on. Well, it was an art, because if you had too much or too little, it would be flaky, or the whole thing. That actually came from the printing industry. Gum Arabic is used in the printing industry, so our press devotees got into the gum Arabic, refined the thing. But this is how we were going on, Prabhupada was...
Polyester
dhotis and whatever was locally available. And he didn't get perturbed by, we have to have this, we have to. But then he was pleased when we got tulsi, when we got, these
mridanga. Other things.
Mridanga, it was real mridanga. Appreciate it. Want to leave some more kirtan?
Mm-hmm. Sure.